everyone, and welcome to minute 19 of season 12 of Movie Around Minute, the Daily Podcast, where we dig our way through the 1994 film The Shawshank Redemption, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Andy Golding of Blueprint Review. Welcome back once again, Andy.
Thanks, Rob. I'm just bracing myself here for the most brutal minute we're going to do.
Yeah, I think so. brace yourself and get ready to go to the infirmary. So, minute 19 begins with the men chanting and shouting while one of the cons finishes his comment to Fat Ass, and ends with Headley beating Fat Ass. So we ended things yesterday with Fat Ass breaking down and starting to just cry and ask for his mother. And, you know, he says, "I want to go home. I want my mommy." And one of the cons screams from up above. He goes, "I had your mother. She wasn't that great." So again, great line. Sad situation, but a great line regardless.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very sort of bleak strand of comedy in this scene, I think. So some of it is quite funny, but the laughter does stick in your throat.
Yeah, that's a little bit of an issue.
Definitely. <Yeah.
laughs> at this point, the men begin chanting again, "Fresh fish, fresh fish." And as they're all chanting, the door to the cell block opens up, and we get to see Hatley, and he's got four guards behind him. That they all show up, and Hatley just screams into the cell block, goes, "What the Christ is this happy horse?" I gotta say, I love Hadley for the fact that he has very colorful dialogue.
Yeah, me too. He's...
most of it doesn't make sense, but it's great.
Yeah, he's a frightening character, but he's also hilariously crass and vulgar in quite a way that is almost poetic.
That's right. And it just fits.
Yeah.
You know, it's I just love listening to the way he talks the whole time. And he starts walking through the cell block, and one of the inmates then says to him, he goes, "You took the Lord's name in vain. I'm telling the warden." And Hadley just turns around and says, "You'll be telling him with my baton up your ass." I mean, we saw last week that the warden has a lot of faith in Hadley, and knows that this is a guy who's going to be able to get stuff done. You know, if you need stuff done in Shawshank, and even if it's a little on the possibly nefarious side, you know, just call Hadley.
Yeah, he's your man.
That's right. Hadley's your man. If he can't do it, no one can, right? So yeah, it's you know, I like that. I mean, this isn't really his introduction to us, but it comes really close because of the way that you know, that we actually get a lot more of him from the way that he acts and describes things here. I like it. I definitely like it.
Yeah, I think Fancy Brown is excellent in this role.
Yes. Yes, yes. No question about that.
Yeah.
And, you know, he just, like, also struts down the line very simply. You know, he's the one in charge here. Nobody's going to no one's going to listen to what he has to say. It's interesting that he knows to stop at Fat Ass's cell. You know, we see from the viewpoint of Red. You know, we see Red is in his own cell looking down, and the camera is giving us his bird's eye view of everything that's going on in front of Fat Ass's cell. And then Fat Ass, when he sees Hadley in front of him, he goes, you gotta let me out of here. And Hadley just looks at him and goes, what is your malfunction, you fat barrel of monkey spunk? Fat Ass goes, please. And, you know, when he's pleading, we get a shot of Red's face. And you can see that Red is feeling a lot of sympathy for this guy at this point. You know, and they, you know, last week when they were all starting to take their bets, and even when we sort of had an idea what they were talking about, we didn't know the extent of what was going to happen. And, you know, they do a little switcheroo on us here. Because we think that their game is a playful little game. But now we're finding out that there are much deeper ramifications for the game that they're playing.
Yeah.
You know, in some ways, it sort of reminds me of like the Seinfeld finale. Did you watch Seinfeld when it was first on or not really?
Yeah. Well, not when it was first on. We didn't really, amazingly, we didn't get it over here. Well, we did get it, but it was in like a graveyard slot on like late at night where barely anyone watched it. So it wasn't big like it was over here, but I bought all the DVDs later down the line and watched them all, so I am familiar with it.
Okay, and so that, I mean, I remember, you know, I watched it through the run, you know, so like every week I was watching it. Wasn't binge watching it or anything like that. And you could relate to the characters, and you liked the characters, and you liked the way that they were making observations about other people and things like that. And you're like, oh, I know someone who's a little talker. I know someone who's a high talker. I know someone who's this. I know someone's that. And you really can you know, feel for these characters, and you're like, wow, this is great. And then the final episode, which you know, obviously is very divisive. Some people love it, some people hate it. I love it because what it's basically telling us is that we are all I don't know if the word degenerates is the right word. But it, basically what Larry David is saying is that the entire world that loves these characters and can relate to these characters are just mean people, because these are mean people. These are not nice people with what they're doing. And if you like them, that means you're not a nice person. And it's like, oh my God, you know, to be able to do something like that after, I think, what do they have, 9 seasons at that point? You know, you have 9 seasons of a show where everyone loves the characters, and then the final episode, they bring to light the fact that, hey, wait a second, these are not nice people.
Yeah.
And if you like them, what does that say about you? You know, that type of
thing. And it ties in beautifully, because where do they all end up? In prison at the end of it, obviously.
Yeah, that's right. And I love the way they do that for that very fact.
Yeah.
So I think that you know, that's what Darabont is doing here also. He's showing us that you know, these guys had this seemingly playful game, and the stakes have just risen.
Yeah, that is why I think the black comedy in these scenes is so effective, because when this switcheroo comes about, we feel guilty for having laughed at
that's right.
anything that they said.
That's right. And, you know, Fat Ass continues to plead. And he goes, please, I ain't supposed to be here. Not me. And Hadley just looks at him and goes, I ain't going to count to 3 or even 1. You will shut the fuck up or I'll sing you a lullaby. Which, again, it goes with the fact that he has a way with words.
Yeah.
You know, and it makes sense, you know. And it's funny that he calls it a lullaby. Like, you know what a lullaby is, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And do you know what it really means?
What the meaning of the word is?
Yeah. The meaning of what is a lullaby?
It's a song that you use to sing a baby to sleep, isn't it, or a child?
Well, yeah, but what's the origin of it? Like, where's the term lullaby come from?
Oh, right, okay. Oh, I've got no idea. Lullaby? No, I don't know.
Okay, so it's a term that was first used, the first place where people say that they saw the word was in the 1560s. Okay, so we're talking us 500 years ago. So lulla is a Middle English verb, which means to calm, to hush, or to rock to sleep.
Okay.
And the idea is that it also, since it's called lulla, so it's like humming sounds that mothers would naturally use to try and calm babies and things like that. And then the idea of adding the suffix of by is it's a sound that, or an interjection that people would use in cradle songs, also from around this time, from the 1500s. And it was sometimes used as a shortened form of good night, or it could also mean near, meaning you have to keep the baby close to you. So sometimes it would be referred to as a lulla lullaby, by saying the word lulla twice. And eventually it was compounded together to be one word. So it's just very, very interesting the way that they put that together.
Okay.
There's also a folklore that the etymology is connected to. There is a fable of a character not mentioned in the Bible, but was a biblical figure that people talked about. Have you ever heard the name Lilith?
Lilith, yes, it rings a bell, obviously, outside of Frasier.
I'm talking about from a biblical perspective.
from a biblical perspective, it does ring a bell.
What I'm about to say will help you understand why they probably named her that in Frasier and in Cheers.
Okay.
the myth is that she was the original wife of Adam, and she was banished to hell because of things that she did, and she became a night demon who would target newborn infants. Mothers had to sing chants to ward her away from the baby's crib. So whatever, it's a nice story. I don't think it's really connected to why there's a lullaby, but still, I thought it was interesting.
Yeah.
At this point, Hadley just isn't dealing with this stuff anymore. And then we start hearing someone, one of the cons trying to help, and he says, "Shut up, man! Shut up!" And fat ass just can't stop himself, and he goes, "There's been a mistake. You don't understand. I'm not supposed to be here." So, obviously, isn't that what everyone says when they're in prison? Except for Andy, who's not there yet. He's still looking, trying to fill that bucket list up. Andy Golden, not Andy Dufresne. Andy Dufresne is there. you'd think he would know better than to cry out like this, but I guess from another perspective, the idea is that they're trying to show the type of shock that these prisoners are coming into.
Yeah, he's just distraught, isn't he? He's not in control of his emotions.
That's right. That's right. And then Hadley just has had enough, and we see Haywood whispering also, trying to get him to stop. And Hadley stands back, takes off his hat, and then screams, "Open the cell!" And what's great is that at the very same moment that we hear Fat Ass say, "I'm not supposed to be here," we hear another comedian from up in the top tiers, and he screams, "Me neither. You people run this place like a fucking prison." And Hadley just has had enough of him, and he just drags him out of the cell and just starts beating him. He takes his baton and starts beating him, and he realizes that he might be going a little too far, but he's not 100% he's not ready to stop. He's in the moment, And then he screams, son of a bitch. And then he just looks at Fat Ass and just takes his baton and smacks him across the face. There's like a big thud. And then at this point, we see that a shot of Haywood. And Haywood also does not feel good about this whole thing. You know, I think it's also part of what they're trying to show us, that these men have been incarcerated for whatever crime they committed, whether it was murder or something else, you know, but there still is good deep down in them. They made a mistake. I'm not saying that they need to be pardoned or released because of it, but you still can see that these are people who have hearts. You know, that to them, this is all a game, and this game has turned into something bloodier. You know, maybe it would work on reality TV nowadays if they would have something like this, you know. But people are looking for the blood. They want to see it come. Yeah. They want to see it flow.
Yeah, it's it really is a shocking scene. This I don't think you can quite put it across just talking about it. But in terms of like the beating that happens in there accounts for like almost half the minute that we're talking about here.
That's right.
I counted the number of, do you know how many blows there are in the beating?
I did not count it.
What would you guess? I would guess
about 7 or 8. That would be my guess.
It's 12 blows.
12, wow.
Two of them happen off camera. We just hear them. And the other 10, you see every bit of it. So it really is a brutal scene. I think a lot of people, when they talk about Shawshank Redemption, they because it appeals to a wide audience, and a lot of people say, oh, it's sentimental and it's twee and things like that. But I can remember watching it for the first time being surprised at how brutal it is. And I mean, it doesn't stop here. We go straight from this into the stuff about the sisters,
right,
comes like not long after this. So the opening stretch of this film is really quite brutal,
right? Beatings and rapings.
Yeah,
but again, as he's gonna tell us later on, you know, as we're gonna hear Red say, prison is not a fairy tale.
yeah it needs to be in there. It's not just gratuitous violence. We need to see the level of brutality that we're working with here to appreciate the story.
Right. I realize that, and we're going to have to, you know, wait and see how that's going to play out.
Yep.
But again, this scene, one of the things that I know what this scene is trying to tell us is they're trying to, usually when you think of people in prison, the people in prison are the bad guys, and the warden and the the guards are supposed to be the good guys. Supposed to, obviously.
Yeah.
Obviously, it doesn't always work that way. But, you know, we're 19 minutes into this movie, and they're now telling us Hadley's not a nice guy.
Yeah.
You know, again, we saw last week that he hit one guy for asking about lunch, and that's about it. But that's fine. But here, he's just beating the crap out of this guy. And, you know, for just because the guy was crying and saying, let me out of here. That's it. He didn't, again, I'm not saying that he didn't deserve to be disciplined in some way, shape, or form, but I think Hadley really went overboard with this one.
Yeah, absolutely.
All this guy was basically saying is I'm homesick, send me home. And he'd be like, just shut up and you know, do your time and you go back home. That's it, you know. But he wants to use him as an example. Then we hear another prisoner scream out, hey, take it easy. Now, I got to give that guy a lot of credit. He's a very brave man to say something like that.
Yeah.
Especially given the fact that everybody knows who Hadley is.
Yeah.
And then we see that Hadley, not only has he beaten Fat Ass, but then he gives him a hard kick to the face. Did you count that in your blows, or did you only count?
Yeah, that was included. Oh. Yeah, that's one of the 12.
Okay, fair enough. And we get another shot of Red also feeling maybe regret for partaking in this this sport, I guess you can say. But we can hear the beatings continue, even though we know that Fat Ass is down for the count. So, and that is how this minute ends. Did you have anything else you wanted to add about this particular minute?
Well, I'm not sure if I should go here really, but sometimes when I watch these, knowing I'm going to come on and talk to you, I try and guess at some of the tangents you might go off on, and. This time you chose a lullabies as the one to go off on. I wrongly assumed that you were going to ask me about Spunk. So,
I try to keep this family friendly, and I didn't really want to start talking about the monkey.
I was just interested in where that term came from, so I did a bit of research on that.
Okay, so enlighten me.
Apparently, it was first recorded use in 1530s to mean spark, and it was a combination of two words that meant spark and funk. In Scottish and Irish, it meant a match or tinder. And then the next iteration is first recorded as a term meaning courage in 1773.
Oh, wow.
And then a lot further down the line, in 1888, it was the first recorded as a term for seamen. So it was 1888 when it first came about as the term we hear it used as here.
But that's still 140 years ago, 145 years ago. Not to get too graphic, but where do they make that connection to spark?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, the other version of spunk was it was late 20th century Australian slang for an attractive person, and that goes back to the original meaning of spark, because it was like a spark that you feel with someone you find attractive. So that was the other version of spunk I could find, but I certainly couldn't find any other instance. Of the term fat barrel of monkey spunk.
Now,
so,
my assumption is that if you did a search for that phrase, you're just going to get Shawshank. Which is one of the problems with specialized quotes in various movies, that you can't find them anywhere else.
Yeah. So yeah, that's all I had to add.
Interesting. Okay. I mean, again, I'm trying to figure out where it connects, the rest. But the only thing I see here is that the connection to semen is the idea that it's a sudden energetic discharge, like a spark flying off a fire.
Yeah, that makes sense, I suppose, yeah.
Right. Because in American English, it means someone who has guts, someone who's lively and things like that.
Interesting.
Okay, fair enough. Today's segment is Andy Do Thursday.
Okay, so my starts number five is his Oscar winning performance in Mystic River, which was a film I hadn't seen for a long time. I revisited it just a few weeks ago just to refresh my memory, and I do think he's very good in that role. Number four is Robert Altman's The Player. I think that film's a lot of fun, and Tim Robbins is a lot of fun in that role. Number three is The Shawshank Redemption, which I was surprised about, because I remembered thinking that Tim Robbins wasn't that great in The Shawshank Redemption when I first saw it. And I see now, watching it, that I totally misjudged it, because he gives exactly what this role needs, which is a certain amount of blankness, a certain amount of... mystique, and I just took that for a lack of acting when I first saw it. But I think he plays the part brilliantly now I've rewatched it. So that's my number three. My number two, I do like a Tim Robbins comedy performance, and it's the Coen Brothers Back Again with the Hudsucker Proxy. I enjoy his sort of take on that sort of everyman character in the Hudsucker Proxy. And my number one is a film that he actually directed as well. It's Bob Roberts, which I think is a film that doesn't get talked about that much anymore, but I really enjoy Bob Roberts' performance and his direction of it. So that's my number one.
Okay. Got it. That's I saw Bob Roberts years and years ago. Don't really remember it that well. Maybe I probably should try to rewatch it. I think if I remember correctly, it's a mockumentary, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's a mockumentary. And you hear it mentioned occasionally now because people sort of link it to current American politics and say it was quite sort of prophetic in the way it tackles that.
All right, so now we will play the first of two daily games, and today's game is the first game is High Low, where I'm going to give my guest a name of an Oscar, a Best Picture Oscar nominated film, and you have to try and guess what the IMDb rating is and the Rotten Tomato rating. So let's spin the wheel for your first of three.
Okay.
Okay. The first one you get is the 2012 movie Amour. Have you ever seen it?
Oh, Amour.
I love that.
Yes, I've seen that. Yeah, that's the Michael Haneke, isn't it? Yeah, I remember it being very, very moving and very, quite a tough watch, actually. Powerful. I remember it being. But I mean, I assume it's quite high. I'm going to say 92% and 7.8.
Once again, you are one off on each of them. It's 93% and 7.9. That's perfect.
I think I've found my game here, haven't I?
All right, excellent. Nicely done. Let's spin the wheel for your next one. Okay, the 2021 version of West Side Story.
Ah, right. This is a trickier one. I'm going to go a bit lower. I'll say 83% and 7.9.
No, you're high and low because it's a 7.1.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah, and Rotten Tomatoes gets a 91.
Oh, I'm surprised it's that high. I thought it was a decent remake, but I was surprised that it's.
I'm not a fan of remakes, as I've talked about so many times over these seasons. But that's one that I like. It's up on par with it doesn't detract from the original, and it doesn't add too much to it, but it's still pretty good. All right, let's spin the wheel for your third.
Yeah.
Okay, the 2015 film Bridge of Spies.
Bridge of Spies, right. That was well thought of as well, generally. I'm going to go 87 and 8 point... No, that's too high. 7.8.
All right, well, it's 90 and 7.6. So, again, very close. Nicely done.
Okay, great.
See, you have found a game that that you know how to navigate through.
I do. I do quite like looking at ratings and things like that. So I've obviously managed to play that game.
Yeah, some of us are just born for these type of things, right?
Yeah.
All right, and so now we will spin the wheel and play the second daily game, which is Name That Book Adaptation. You know, this one obviously is a little trickier than the other one. But still fun to see what titles, you know, the stories originally were. So let's spin the wheel and see what you get. It will be another Hitchhiker. Because there are other ones on the list.
Oh, okay.
Okay, this is a movie from 1964, and the original title is Red Alert.
Is that Failsafe?
No, but you were really, really close.
Is it Doctor Strange?
Yes, it is.
Ah. Went for the wrong one, but
you went for the wrong one, but you got the theme right.
Yeah.
Excellent. All right, so Andy, would you like to once again tell people where they can find you?
Yes, you can find my writing about films on blueprintreview.co.uk, and you can find my new podcast with Todd Liebenau about the golden age of animated shorts at Cartoon Breakdown Podcast. You can just search that anywhere you get your podcasts.
All right, excellent. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Around Minute. You can find me on Facebook, you can find me on Twitter, you can find me on Instagram. You can find me on my website, moviearoundminute.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to moviearoundminute@movierob.net. So until tomorrow, get busy living.
Get busy dying.